This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Parade in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap, rolls right, throws to the end zone, catches Brady, touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to the Bob Soucy Show from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium, and of course invite you to join us on our Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. You can also call 1-855-PATS-500, 1-855-PATS-500, and email at webradio@patriots.com. And certainly the fallout from Monday night continues for the Patriots, one of the more lopsided losses, not only in recent memory, but of course for the New England Patriots in particular under Bill Belichick with Tom Brady at quarterback, falling to the Kansas City Chiefs by a 41-14 final. The Chiefs dominating the game really start to finish. The Patriots giving up more than 300 yards in the opening half defensively, the highest total against a Belichick coach team since he took over in 2000. And the offense, of course, unable to muster much until late in the second half. Tom Brady hitting Brandon LaFell eventually for a 44-yard touchdown pass after LaFell broke free from the Kansas City secondary with a broken tackle. And then eventually Jimmy Garoppolo coming in for Brady after he was taken out of the contest, again well in hand, with the Patriots struggling to contain the Kansas City pass rush late in the second half. Garoppolo did lead the Patriots on a scoring drive, connecting eventually to Rob Gronkowski. But again, for the Patriots, very few highlights on Monday night versus Kansas City. While the Chiefs established a new record, their fans turned out in excess of 79,000, determined to make Arrowhead Stadium once again officially the loudest stadium in sports, and they registered at better than 142 decibels with their roar on Monday night. And for the Patriots, any attempt to take that crowd out of the contest, of course, fell by the wayside very early. It was a three and out on the Patriots' first possession after Kansas City was able to pick up a couple of first downs and punted away, and then on the Chiefs' second series, it was the first of three Jamal Charles touchdowns that capped the proceedings. So again, Jamal Charles with three scores, rushing and receiving, Alex Smith near perfect at quarterback, big day for the tight end, Travis Kelce, Niall Davis rushed for more than 100 yards. For the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of stars, whereas for the Patriots, when you look back, quite honestly, the best players on Monday night in all three phases were on special teams and on the punt unit in particular, Ryan Allen and Matthew Slater. But these Patriots now are back at work. It is a short week, and they're going up against the only unbeaten team in the AFC in the Cincinnati Bengals, who've had 2 weeks to prepare for this contest. Cincinnati with a bye last week at 3-0, like the Arizona Cardinals, unbeaten in the NFL. Cardinals also at 3-0, did not play last week. These Bengals adding to their strength in the week that was, because they had several guys who were out due to injury, including the very noteworthy Vontaze Burfict, outstanding linebacker, and wide receiver Marvin Jones, both expected to be with Cincinnati. Haven't seen the practice report yet today, but both expected to be on the practice field and to prepare for the Patriots this coming Sunday night, of course, with another primetime stage for the Pats, though at Gillette Stadium against the Cincinnati Bengals, who've held opponents to 11 points per game and have a daunting defense, no doubt. Paul Gunther has taken over as the new defensive coordinator there, but really continuing what Mike Zimmer had established under Marvin Lewis in that role. Cincinnati with a dominant defense, an offense that has seemingly continued to make strides under the new coordinator, Hugh Jackson. He's put even more emphasis on the run game. Andy Dalton off to a good start with a new contract, and of course a lot of weapons at his disposal. A.J. Green, the most noteworthy as a wide receiver, but in the backfield as well. They've really got a two-headed monster in the very flashy and dashy Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, first round, high round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals, second rounder out of LSU, 230-plus pounds. They combined to rush for three touchdowns in a rout of Tennessee in Week 3. Cincinnati already with a very impressive win on the road. They opened the season by beating Baltimore in a three-point contest. Now, coming up on this show, as we look ahead to the Bengals and take a brief look back at Monday night, we're going to visit with the Patriots place kicker. We hope Stephen Gostkowski, he is scheduled to join us if his time allows. Stephen, of course, at practice in a special teams meeting thereafter for the Pats. He's on the verge of becoming the franchise's all-time leading scorer, just over 100 points away from that distinction, trailing only Adam Vinatieri and Gino Capoletti. Gostkowski, a Pro Bowler last year, led the NFL in scoring 158 points, and in fact has led the NFL in scoring each of the last two seasons. Should he do the same here in 2014, he will join the aforementioned Gino Capoletti as one of only a few players in NFL history to lead the league in scoring for three successive years. Also scheduled to join us, Scott Zolak, the former Patriot quarterback and my partner on our radio broadcasts of Patriot football on our flagship station, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, and the rest of our affiliates. Beyond that, hopefully Jackie Britton will have time for us. She works, of course, for Patriots.com as an intrepid reporter. And we'll have Dan Hoare, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, in our second hour to discuss that team in greater detail and to share some of the insights coming out of Cincinnati as the Bengals approach this game, really in an unfamiliar spot coming on the road to Gillette as a team many would believe certainly to be a prohibitive favorite against the Patriots based on the way the two teams have played to date. But first, we're going to turn to the phone line. And again, you can call in on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398 or at 1-855-PATS-500. Olivier from Virginia has been standing by for a long, long while. Olivier, how are you today?
In nomine Patris et Filio et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
I don't know if you were yet at that point, Olivier, where we're requiring divine intervention, but nonetheless, it's good for the soul, and we appreciate that.
It would be good to put some humor into the situation that we are facing. I think, you know, people are asking for Brady or Belichick's head and so forth, and I think we should pull the brake and realize that things happen. Maybe there is an issue in the team that we don't know about, and maybe there is a malaise, but you know what? I really doubt that these guys get up in the morning and say, we want to play bad, and we don't want to be successful, and we don't want to win. So they are going through adversity right now, and maybe this is what it is. You know, maybe the team is not as good as all of us hoped it would be after, as you mentioned, after the acquisition of Revis, and especially how we played last year. And we thought, well, if we played that bad last year, we got to the AFC Championship. What is it going to be if we actually have a few better players? But at the end of the day, I think we should give Brady a break. I mean, it's easy. You know, at the end of the day, as they say, that negativity in this town sucks. Is it what the famous phrase that someone said? I'm not really sure what being so negative is going to be bringing to these guys. I think we should support them, and we should try to be patient. And then when people ask for replacement, I mean, who else do we think that we can get except the best coach that exists in the football league and one of the greatest quarterbacks? Is he bad right now? I don't think so. He needs help. He's older, and what do you do when you have an older, you know, player? You've got to surround him with, you know, more talent to be able to, you know, to help his age and his lack of ability to be as good as he used to be 5 years ago. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that's kind of a loaded question, but...
Well, actually, it's loaded, and I think your whole statement preceding the question was loaded with a lot of good stuff, Olivier.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll rest my case.
Yeah, I'll take the latter part first, because I think that is the source of frustration for a lot of people here, the viewpoint that so many across New England seem to have based on any sampling of sports talk radio or even reading the newspaper columnists the last several days or the online viewpoints. A lot of people across New England, I think, are very frustrated by the fact that they do know that Tom Brady is, of course, in a latter stage of his career, whether or not one would think that he's in a sharp decline. And I don't think that way, by the way. I think at 37, he remains an elite quarterback for the Patriots, but obviously has not played that way, and he's the first to say it. And it's an offense that has a lot of different issues, and all of them in great part are interconnected, including the quarterback's performance through the first four games. But I think to go back to your last point, and I think that is the source of frustration for a lot of people who don't believe that he's been supported by enough talent at wide receiver, in particular on the outside, and especially in light of the decision to not make active both Kenbrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson, two of the second-year players that a lot of people are pinning their hopes on. And, of course, there's concerns about the offensive line, too. Yeah, it does make you wonder. It certainly raises a concern about their development or lack thereof, because you certainly would hope that each of them would be at a point now where they could win the battles at the line of scrimmage, where they can be available to Brady. Of course, even if the Pats are in a situation like they've been the last four games, where he's not allowed a lot of time to make decisions and make throws and hasn't had a chance to go through progressions and has often had to hit receivers in tight coverage, even with those short drops and the quick throws. So there is a concern there. Are the young guys, number one, are they winning those battles at the line of scrimmage? Number two, are they getting separation when they're into their pass routes, whether it's in games or in practice? And, of course, we haven't seen enough of Dobson in games thus far, but he certainly didn't show a lot of evidence in the one game that he was active this season. And Kenbrell Tompkins is another guy who had 10 targets in the season opener and then caught half of those passes, but, you know, was rarely looked to and didn't spend a whole lot of time on the field a couple of weeks ago. So, you're right. I think that it does make you wonder. But I want to go back to something you said a bit earlier, too. And I think it's really important. And obviously, I look at it a bit differently because I'm the radio broadcaster who's with the team. And, you know, as I said to John Rook in our crossover a short while ago, where the Patriots are is not where anyone expected them to be.
That's correct.
To be 2-2, and especially to have struggled the way they have offensively. And certainly there are issues regarding personnel that a lot of people are concerned about. But a year ago, the Patriots won against the New York Jets in week two, and their offense was really struggling. The Patriots went to Cincinnati, of course, in week five, and they were beaten 13-6, and the offense could not score a touchdown. Brady's streak of 52 consecutive games with a touchdown pass was stopped, and a lot of people began to wonder then, you know, is this team equipped offensively to enjoy the kind of success it had? The numbers were not as drastically, uncharacteristic last year as they are this year through four games. But nonetheless, it was an offense that certainly was far from clicking on all cylinders. And then, of course, the Patriots came back from that loss in Cincinnati and were in dire straits against the New Orleans Saints. And they wound up pulling that game out in the end. And when I go back to other teams that have been in similar predicaments, now the case study is very limited. It wasn't a scientific...
The New York Giants, you mentioned.
Yeah, and I mentioned the New York Giants of 2011. And I think you look at that particular team, it was able to pull it together late in the year. And again, even going into the postseason, there were a lot of questions raised about the Giants' offensive line. The combinations were constantly being shuffled for that team going into the postseason. They were 7-7. They had been blown out in Monday Night Football, I believe it was around week 12, week 13, really routed on a Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers, 49-24. In fact, it was week 12. They had lost four consecutive games in November and December. Back then, a lot of people were again questioning Tom Coughlin. He had bought some time, of course, with the first Super Bowl win, but with the Giants on their way to a 7-7 record, there were certainly many conversations on the New York airwaves about whether or not Tom Coughlin could survive and whether or not changes were needed in New York, especially in light of the struggling offense at that time, not being able to run the ball in particular.
That's correct.
Well, they won their last two regular season games. They got into the tournament. They got by Green Bay. They beat San Francisco in an ugly game and ugly conditions in overtime. And we know what happened, of course, in the Super Bowl that year. Now, the Patriots obviously have other issues besides the offensive line, as we saw on Monday night. But it's not as though other teams in week four, week five, haven't been able to overcome similar adversity. The Baltimore Ravens fired their offensive coordinator 2 years ago, about a month before the regular season came to an end.
They went on to build the Super Bowl.
They went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And another point you made, too, about Brady and Belichick in particular. And it was interesting today to hear the lines of questioning for both in their respective press conferences. And I certainly appreciate and understand and support the tough questions and the people that have to ask them. And that's not my role. That's not what I do as the play-by-play guy. But I sit in those press conferences, and there are other people there who have to ask those difficult questions. But, you know, for me, as someone who looks at the body of work for Brady, especially, you know, as a quarterback in 14-plus years now, to have done what he has done, and to understand there are a lot of factors involved in quarterback play, and it starts with blocking, it starts with receivers. Of course, if you don't have adequate time early on, if you take a lot of hits, well, then as a human being, your tendency would be, one would think, to rush things a bit, to hurry things a bit, and that certainly seemed to be the case, even when there was protection on Monday. He's not infallible. As said, he has pointed to himself, like the rest of the offensive unit, that you know, they've got to improve in every area. Nobody's going to dispute that. But it's not all on number 12, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And as far as the head coach is concerned, you know, Belichick has found ways numerous times during the course of this decade and a half for the Patriots to, again, overcome some of the issues that have troubled the team early. I don't think that when you look at the 4 or 5 games, 6 game period to begin the season, that that's a time when these Patriot coaches think, well, this is the team we're going to have the last third of the season or the last quarter of the season. I believe that they've kind of gone through an evaluation process, just as they've always seemed to do early in the season. Now you again wonder about the talent that's available and whether or not they can continue to try to address the issues that they have, the problems that they have with the players in place. But that they have no other choice.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, the players that we talked to in the locker room today all expressed a sense of urgency. And the final point I'll make with relation to what you said is that, you know, I didn't see a lack of effort by any stretch on Monday. Did they seem at times unprepared for what the Chiefs were doing? Certainly they got caught with misdirection. Certainly against the Kansas City run game, the Patriots' defensive front was manhandled in a lot of respects. They didn't set the edge on the outside, whether it was Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Rob Ninkovich, whoever was out there. Once Kansas City's backs were both very fast and very explosive, and Jamal Charles and Niall Davis was also very powerful, got to that second level. When the Patriots went nickel especially, their safeties had a tough time, in many cases a bit out of position, and again the misdirection gave them a lot of problems in the passing game. We saw a mix of coverages. Did we see Darrell Revis on Dwayne Bowl the entire game? No. We saw Bo get open though against the zone. We saw Bo get open against man-to-man coverage. One particular play that stands out for me was a slant that set up the Chiefs before a touchdown throw to Charles in that contest, where he was able to get the inside position on Darrell and make a catch on a quick slant. Again, man-to-man coverage. So I think that you know, you look at this team, it's on both sides of the ball. There are a lot of issues, whether it's technique, fundamentals, whether it's you know, the performance in the end. You hopefully learn from it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Belichick certainly has proven during the course of his career that not only can he learn from it, but he can help his players learn and then adapt and adjust to it.
Yeah, and the good news about Bill is that he's not afraid to make changes. He's not afraid to blow the team up if necessary and recognize if he hasn't made the right adjustments and so forth. So that's why it's still early in the season. Doesn't mean that we're going to be as great as we thought we were going to be. Who knows? Because at the end of the day, coaches can do as much as they can to prepare the teams. Ultimately, the players have to deliver the product on the field.
No question about it, Olivier. No question about it. And I share a lot of the concerns that a lot of people have. And, you know, certainly look for this team to have a much different kind of performance, a much better effort on Sunday night against Cincinnati.
And you know what? And in a way, Bob, then I'll let you go. I think they will. It's kind of the first time that this young team gets embarrassed on national TV like this. And I think hopefully that gives them the motivation of saying this will never, never happen to us again. And therefore, we're going to learn from it. And we're going to be more of a united front and a unit. And then hopefully that's the defeat that they needed to have to spark something that will help them to move forward. That's all we can hope for.
Olivier, you said it well, and certainly this team will try to rally around itself coming up in the days ahead as they prepare for Cincinnati on Sunday. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for hanging on so long.
My pleasure. Thanks for taking my call, Bob. I'll talk
all
to
right.
you soon. Cheers.
Olivier down in Virginia, again, a loyal Patriot fan, and certainly when the Patriots come back on Sunday night, They've got to do better than a three and out with their opening series to get the crowd in the game. There's no doubt about it. That was the case, of course, with Oakland, and the Raiders were able to strike first. Against Kansas City, as noted, the Patriots had the Chiefs in their first series in a third and long, could not force Kansas City to punt in that spot deep in its own end, and therefore the Chiefs tilted the field against the Patriots, who went three and out with their first series, allowing Kansas City again to strike first in that contest. So the Patriots have got to come out, and they've got to get the crowd engaged in the game right from the outset. There's no doubt about that. But as they return home, where they've been so good at Gillette Stadium, and as they come back to what is expected to be the 220th consecutive sellout for the New England Patriots at home, certainly they're going to look for a loud and raucous crowd. Maybe not a record-setting crowd like Kansas City was able to enjoy last Monday night, but no doubt about it, the Pats will look for the fans to be into it early, and they'll try to keep them into it. And, again, it's all part of that home field advantage. And certainly I think last year no roar was louder for Patriot fans at home than that after the overtime kick by Steven Gostkowski to complete the comeback against the Denver Broncos. So many waited through bone-chilling conditions for the kickoff of that game. The Pats fell behind, as we know, 24-0. They came back to win it in overtime. And Steven Gostkowski, of course, delivered that game-winning kick for the Patriots. One of three game-winners a year ago, one of four overall in his career, and now he sits down to join us after leading the NFL in scoring each of the last 2 years. Steven, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for making the time. I know you got a tight schedule today, just getting out of practice and meetings. But nonetheless, you're a guy that has been around this team for a long time, 9 years, and you're coming off one of the most difficult losses, I'm sure, during the course of your career. One of the leaders on this team, given your experience, even in your role as a place kicker, not on the field all the time, but nonetheless, I think a good spokesman for this team. What's the attitude of this team? What's the sense you get from your teammates, especially the veteran guys?
Well, I mean, if you play long enough, you're going to get your butt whooped every once in a while. And luckily, here in New England, it's been few and far between. And I think one thing that Coach Belichick always demonstrates is, he's always calm. He's always, he doesn't really get too high or too low. And I think that's the message that you try to take is, you know you're going to get beat every once in a while. You know you're going to beat a lot of teams. And, there's the same instance could be you could go out and blow a team out and think you're really good and come out and a team could take advantage of that the next week. So I think there's just so many different things that could happen in the NFL, and it changes week to week, year to year. And if you just focus on what you can do and not what everyone else is saying around you or, the hype or the noise or whatever can affect you mentally and focus on what you're going to do, you're going to win some games. And it's so early in the year to think that we can't come out and put out a good football team. And, we just got to keep working at it. And, some adversity can actually help a team in a way where if you bounce back from it, then it can make you tougher in the end. And hopefully that's a situation we got going on now where we can come out and try to win as many games as we can and go week to week and just show that we are a good football team and that we work really hard. And some of the things that have happened in some of the games aren't characteristic of how good we are.
I mentioned the game against Denver. One of many games like that last season where you guys had to rally against really improbable circumstances like Cleveland, for example, and through adversity with a lot of injuries, especially on defense. That team was resilient and tough. A lot of those same guys, of course, are on this team.
Yes.
Do you still sense that resilient attitude in that locker room and on the practice field?
Well, I know we have a lot of tough guys physically and mentally. And, situations like that have to happen like organically. You can't just say, well, we won a bunch of games last year and tight games. I mean, the situation's got to come up. Every year is different. The guy's an all-star 1 year. Doesn't mean he's going to be the next year. You have to keep putting the work in, and you have to have the right frame of mind, and you have to put yourself in the right situations to succeed. And that's what they stress, and that's what we try to do. Does it always happen? No, but the team is always working for that goal, to be ready when your name is called upon to do your best for your team. Like, do your job. That's what coach always says, do your job. And it kind of hits home when things are going bad. Just do your job, and everybody does their job, and all mesh together as a team. And that's what you try to do so we can go out and win some games.
With Stephen Gostkowski, Patriot place kicker, and I say your name, Gostkowski, because I was told last year before my first Patriots broadcast that either leave the T or the K silent, whichever you prefer. How do you prefer your name be pronounced?
I just usually say Gostkowski, but Gostkowski. I have kind of a lazy voice. So I think my dad's always like, no, it's Gostkowski.
Gostkowski.
So, yeah, so, I mean, either way.
Well, that's where we're going with it. My apologies to your family.
It's okay.
It's Gostkowski.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've clarified that, which I should have clarified before that preseason opener last year with Philadelphia, Stephen Gostkowski continues to make a name for himself as one of the best at what he does in his job, Pro Bowler last year again for the New England Patriots. And as mentioned, you've delivered a lot of clutch field goals for this team. What do you think about? How do you prepare for that moment during the course of the game when you know the Patriots are driving downfield and you might be set up to come on and deliver?
Well, I mean, when the game's close and the game's tight, I've come throughout the years where it's kind of easy to focus because there's so much on the line. And I practice so much over and over again, and I've been through situations where I've made big kicks, I've missed a big kick, and life always goes on. So I just don't take it that life and death, and I'm just literally focused on making the kick. And I feel like throughout the years it's been not easier, but it's more manageable to control my emotions and like how fast my heart is racing. I mean, obviously, I still get nervous and I still get excited for the opportunity. And you know, the better you get, the more experience you get, you welcome those opportunities instead of shy away from them. And one of the mistakes I made maybe as a youngster is you're just waiting for that moment to prove yourself or get that opportunity, and you have zero control over it. You just have to be ready every game. You know, you have to work hard and make sure you're good at what you're doing, that if your name gets called, that you're ready to go. And that's what I try to do. I mean, you go and do a game thinking, you know, like last year, people would probably think we'd blow a team like Cleveland out. And then I have to make a couple kicks in the game, kick an onside kick. You don't think games like that will be close, and that can sneak up and bite you in the butt if you don't. So I'm ready all the time, and I just try to be cool, calm, and collected in whatever I do. I'm not a big celebrator. I don't get too down on myself. I mean, I get upset when I screw up, but I know that if I let one bad play lead to two, then I'm really hurting the team, and, you know, that's what I try to do, and I try to just keep my mental focus on my job and not the outcome. I don't worry about what happens if I miss a kick or if I have a bad kickoff. All I think about is the ball going in, and that's kind of plain and simple what I do.
You referenced the onside kick against the Cleveland Browns last year, and it stands out to me for this reason. Not only that Kyle Arrington recovered it, but on that bunt play, I guess it's termed the bunt play, you slid alongside the football. And I remember a game following that when an opposing kicker, the Patriots were playing against, also tried to execute the bump play. He kicked it, and he got out of the way. You kicked it, and you slid on the turf to follow the football, and in my view, helped to shield one of the Browns from recovering it cleanly to give Kyle Arrington the shot at the ball that which had been touched by Fozzie Whitaker of Cleveland. What's part of your mentality in that situation? Because Bill Belichick says you're not just a kicker, you're a football player.
Oh, thanks, Coach. No, that's the kind of thing. Like it is called the bunt, and if no one would have been there, I would have gotten the ball. So the thinking behind it is, either I get it or I get in the way, and mass confusion can happen. And luckily, the ball took a good bounce. I mean, onside kicks are impossible to get. I mean, it's like 4%, you know, 4 to 10% each year, and there's only so many new ones that you can come up with. Where a team hasn't, I mean, it just seemed like everything's set up good for us, and it worked out, and I hit a pretty good kick, and the guy smashed me. My shoulder was hurting for like 3 weeks after that, so luckily it wasn't all in vain that we got the ball. I was pretty excited because I didn't see anybody, and I was like, dang, this is going to be mine. I'm going to get it, and I was ready to go nuts, and then boom, out of nowhere, he hits me, and luckily I was in the way. I mean, The way it was drawn up, it worked out well. And, you know, I don't know how many other times we can use a play like that. But, you know, the one time we needed it, it worked. And luckily, the guy went for me and couldn't get to the ball, and it got to Kyle. So it worked out very well.
It also worked out well when your compadre Ryan Allen got hurt in the playoffs and you had to punt. How often do you practice punting during the year?
Hardly ever. I just joke around every once in a while when, you know, I'm always shagging for Ryan and catching his punts during practice sometimes. You know, instead of trying to throw them back every time, I'll punt some back and just kind of joking around more during like OTAs and mini camp when you don't have a game coming up. And it was actually the first time I'd ever punted in a game. I've obviously can kick a ball pretty well. I think not doing it that much helped me out because I didn't know what to know. You know, I couldn't get in my own head because I'd never really done it before. And it was a cool experience. You know, it stunk for Ryan that he got hurt, and luckily he got to bounce back and play a nice game. But it was cool. All I focused on was like, don't drop the ball. And after I caught the ball, I just tried to, you know, kick the crap out of the ball, and it worked out pretty well. It was a cool experience looking back at it. I mean, I don't like the way that it had to happen. I was, you know, one of the few times in my career where, you know, I kind of gave myself a pat on the back. Usually I'm really hard on myself, but I was pretty happy after that game for being able to do something different, offer a different service to the team instead of just kicking field goals and kickoffs.
Speaking of doing something different with Steven Gostkowski, Patriot place kicker, you were a three-sport athlete growing up. You were a good baseball player, good enough to pitch collegiately at the University of Memphis. How did you become a kicker?
I just went out for football in ninth grade. And, you know, you kind of try out for every position, and the coaches really know anybody. And, you know, I was just running drills and doing all this stuff. And they said, who can kick a ball? And I said, I can kick a ball. And I was kicking 50, 55 yarders first time I ever touched a ball in ninth grade. And they're like, can you stay after practice? And I said, yeah. And I played in the varsity game that Friday. So it just kind of fell into my lap. It's nothing I went out looking to do. It was just kind of a natural talent that kind of fell into my lap, and I stuck with it. Luckily, you know, there were times in high school where I wanted to quit football and not play, but I had just had an opportunity, to be able to play collegially, get a scholarship, which I didn't get a football scholarship. I got a baseball scholarship because that was my main goal, but luckily I stuck with it, and, things kind of worked out for me, and I've always been a kind of guy who likes to play all sports, and there wasn't a sport where I didn't think I could play growing up, and I wanted to play it all. And, football was no different, and, you know, just kicking it was just apparent that I was meant to do it because it just came so naturally to me, and I got lucky to be in the right place in the right time.
A lot of kickers went to camps growing up and even into the professional careers have kicking coaches, gurus they rely upon. Have you ever had that experience?
No, I never went to camps, never had like a true kicking coach. Just kind of, you know, I've always had, you know, coach. I think coaches probably throughout my career have helped me more out personally and taught me how to work hard and taught me how to be more accountable. A coach like Scott O'Brien he's more going to tell me when I'm doing something different than what I normally do. They're not going to come in and invent a new kicking style, per se. They see me so many times, they can point out, hey, you're doing this, you're picking your head up, you're swinging too hard. And in high school, I just didn't have time. I was playing high school football. I was playing, you know, travel baseball, travel soccer. I was playing high school soccer, high school baseball. I mean, I would go from football practice to soccer practice, then vice versa. And I just never had time to do any of that. And luckily, it probably helped me out because I don't think too much while I'm out there. And, you know, when people try to teach me, like, different things about the golf swing, I'm like, I'm just going to try to hit the ball. And that's kind of what I do.
So if an opposing coach calls a timeout to try to ice you, you're not really fazed by it? Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, you kind of expect it to happen. You don't think about it. If it does, I just go back to the sideline and go through my normal routine. I think the worst thing you can do is stand out there, being on the field still. You know, I might go back, kick another ball in the net, just try to redo my focus for the kick. And, you know, it's only happened to me a couple times. And sometimes if they call a timeout late, we'll snap it anyway and get a free shot. And I remember that happened my rookie year. Against the Bears, it was like a 53 yard field goal. You know, they snapped it. I kind of just swung down there, missed it a little bit to the right, and then I changed my aim a little bit and made it the next time. So sometimes it can help you out. But I think the only person that can get in my own head is myself. I don't let outside distractions factor into how I play.
Steven Gostkowski is featured in a commercial in which his hopeful boss is trying to ice him. An executive, I'm guessing, at ESPN. You're in Bristol, Connecticut, in full uniform, and you're pacing in the hallway trying to go in for your job interview, and you're constantly being put on hold. You're muttering to yourself about a vacation and, yep, you know, salary, and he's apparently trying to ice you. How did that opportunity arise, and how much ribbing have you gotten from your teammates in particular in the locker room as a result of it? What's the reaction?
I've got no ribbing. Everyone loves it. They think it's hilarious. I don't know why people would make fun of you for being in a commercial. I think it's pretty cool. I don't think I embarrassed my, but it was cool. It was like March or April, I got an opportunity. My agent called and said they want to do a commercial. I said, yeah, why wouldn't I? Those are always awesome. They're funny. And, poking fun at my own position and, you know, kind of, you know, making fun of myself is funny to me. And, I wouldn't say I'm that frantic when I'm on the sideline, but, kickers can be known to be, have their own little routines, and icing is a big part of the game. I thought it was a very clever commercial. And oh, nice.
Yeah, how about that? Perfect timing. Playing as we speak.
I really enjoyed the experience. It was cool and something different. I mean, you know, the opportunities like this aren't going to happen, you know, down the road when I'm not playing for the Patriots anymore.
So ribbing was a poor choice. I should have said, what was the reaction? I would guess in a locker room setting, though, that guys give one another a hard time about
they do, but I've had everyone's come up and said they loved it and they thought it was really cool. I think, you know, they said it was the first time someone for the Patriots has been on one. I know Vinatieri, but he was with the Colts when he was in his. And, you know, it's not like they picked me personally. I think they just had an idea and they needed a kicker to do it. So I'm glad that they thought of me, but it was cool. I mean, it was something I did in the off season that, you know, it's not like a distraction or anything like that. Like I left last week to film it. So, but it was cool. I really enjoyed the experience and, you know, all my friends and family get a trip out of it. And I did it more for that reason, to where, you know, something I can show my kids one day.
Well, I would think too that in every sport, there wouldn't be an athlete who wouldn't want to be in an ESPN Sports Center commercial. It's got to become really like being on a Sports Illustrated cover used to be for guys. It's kind of a stamp of validation.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, I think as football players, you know, especially, at my position, I'm not a big talker to the media, and I'm not trying to. I'm either talking when I do something really good or really bad. Other than that, it's not really my thing. But, you know, you get to see a lot more of your personality. You do something like that. You know, there's a lot of really funny, really charismatic guys on our team that, you know, not everybody gets to see. And hopefully it came off well and people liked the way I could poke fun at myself.
And lastly, you're pictured on billboards outside Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place. What's that experience like when you're
driving? I got a lot of ribbon for that. But, you know, again, I had no idea that was going to go up. I agreed to do a promotion with Yahoo Fantasy Sports. I thought they were just going to use my picture on, like, the internet or something like that. But it's cool. I mean, fantasy football has made kickers a lot more popular than we would ever be. You get some guys on the sidelines at away games saying, Gostkowski, you stink. You're going to miss wide right. And then the other half are like, make five kicks, but don't win. You're on my fantasy team. So, you know, everybody knows the who the kickers are now as compared to probably like 10, 15 years in the past where people probably didn't really care. Everybody plays fantasy sports now, so it's really gotten us a little better name. But I would drive by it every day, and I would, like, blush and look. I was like, dang, my head is huge on there. But it was cool. I mean, you know, I'm not embarrassed about it. I got a little ribbing for it, but it was cool. I mean, it was a great promotion, and hopefully that worked. I made a commercial for that too, so that was pretty funny.
Well, no ribbing, I guess, as a place kicker, because you've really earned the respect of fans across New England and the NFL with your career body of work, and certainly off to a great start this season. I know the team is at 2-2 and looking to rebound from Monday night, and we wish you all the best against Cincinnati this Sunday night.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm doing my best.
Stephen, thanks a lot for your time.
You.
Stephen Gostkowski with us, so we'll continue with more right after this on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show. Get the view from the booth as we go inside the broadcast booth with the Patriots Radio Network broadcast team.
Brady's in the gun. He's got the Who Man on the right wing. Collie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Here's former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak and the radio voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
All right, welcome back, everyone, and Scott Zolak with us. Those words you just heard, by the way, Zoe, and yours truly on the Saints-Patriots broadcast a year ago came a week after the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Patriots 13-6, limiting New England to two field goals. And Zoe, you think about the circumstances facing this team right now after the adversity on Monday night. How similar are they to early last year when the offense was sputtering and the team was coming off such a disheartening defeat?
Great question. I think every year is different, but who left the building? I want to leave that building right through the second quarter. It's how bad. Hey, did you just have a Gostowski on?
We did. Yes, we did.
This is like the Polak Power Hour. You need to play polkas. I want my intro to be Polish next week. I want next week we're doing polkas.
Producer Kevin Collins is going to get on that, and he may even sing a tune or two.
He's not Polish, but that doesn't matter.
But we're all feeling the Polish power after Gostkowski.
You don't need to be Polish to polka,
Zola.
Though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to be Polish to polka. Everybody loves a polka.
Or to appreciate pierogies.
Pierogies, very fair. Hulupki, Hulushki. It's all good.
Kielbasa.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we went into that New Orleans game thinking New Orleans was undefeated, and they're coming in, they're high rolling, and, you know, you end up pulling one out at the end, and each week's different. And I just hope that they've... And, you know, you and I talked about this on the plane. I said sometimes, you know, when you lose games or you get the rug pulled out from underneath you in the final seconds, those are harder to overcome. I don't think there's one player that entering that fourth quarter thought they had a chance to win that game. So you kind of start getting ready for next week, if you know what I mean, mentally. And a lot's been made out of Brady sulking and putting the head down. He's pissed off, and he should be. You know, things have not gone right for them offensively. And, you know, the defense, given the type of players that they have, and they're healthy, that's a pretty good unit out there. They shouldn't get gouged the way they did in Kansas City the other night.
And a lot has been made about Tom's performance, especially the last 24 to 48 hours or so.
Right.
There are a lot of issues that are related.
You're only good as the people around you.
Right.
We've been saying this, and when things were going too good around here, he got way too much over-the-top credit for it, and there were a lot of good players around him. And that's not to say, hey, he doesn't have those guys now. You know, offense is predicated on 11 guys being on the same page and pulling it off at the same time. You know, if you have 8 guys doing their job and 3 screw it up, or if you have 10 guys doing their job and 1 guy screws it up and that's a guy in the middle and he misses a block, the play is shot. Defense, you can make up for somebody that messes up. You know, somebody else could pick up the slack. You can't do that on the offensive side. So they're trying to fight through that now and figure out what their identity is on offense right now.
And they've got to identify the guys they're going to go with. 5 different line combinations Monday night. The two second-year receivers inactive, Aaron Dobson and Kenbrell Tompkins. So what can the Patriots do to get things righted offensively in your mind?
Well, I think Dobson and Tompkins are a part of it. I think they got to be up and going. You know, I like the strides that LaFell made the other night, showing he could go over the middle and catch the ball. He's not afraid to go in there. That's going to do well for him and Brady as far as confidence moving forward there. We all know what Julian Edelman could do. We don't need to talk about him. At some point, I think you need to sit the big boy down and say, talking about Rob Gronkowski, and say, okay, that's 4 games. Your preseason's over. We saw glimmers of it last week, caught a ball in the flat, did a little juke and shake, and ran someone over against Oakland. And then at the end of the game, the catch from Garoppolo, where he ran 3 guys over at the goal line, he looked angry. That's the old Rob I know. We need to see more of that. It's time to start him, getting him more involved in the offense, get him off a pitch count. For all you baseball people, that's, you know, you only throw so many pitches and you get your starting pitcher out of the game. You worry about arm strength and all that stuff. Well, that's out the window. He's the best tight end in football, and let's get him up playing like it.
And Mike Reese also made a point, too, late in that game, delivered a block downfield to spring Stephen Ridley on a bit of a run. So Gronkowski did show flashes Monday night, albeit with the game out of hand.
I think that's what they're looking for, Bob. I think they're looking for those signs. It's not just like he's out there running plays and it's really been these last 2 games because he didn't see much at all in those first couple. I mean, he had the touchdown catch in Miami, but you could have caught that one.
Come on, you know better than that.
Him dragging it around. I'd probably throw it 10 feet over your head, but you still probably would have made a hell of an effort to catch it.
Yeah, if people think throwing to Amendola and Edelman is tough, given their size.
It's crazy now, man. Hey, you're doing this play-by-play thing now. You got other people out there on Twitter at the fake Bob Sosi accounts. It's Bob Flosi-Sosi and MC Flosi. I mean, you know, you're rhyming and scheming during games. That's stuff you just can't control.
I owe it all to you, Zoe.
That's right. We're going to get you big, bud.
How about defensively? A lot of people are frustrated, I think, because they expected Darrell Revis to come in and to be perfect, to be literally a shutdown cornerback who didn't allow any completions in his direction. And we've seen him used both zone and man-to-man. What do you expect from this defense going forward?
You can't be a shutdown corner when you're playing zone. I mean, a first third down of the game, you know, you stop him on two runs, third and nine, and, you know, he's 8 yards off in a belt technique, and, you know, basically you give the curl route in front of you and make the tackle. You know, you criticize him more for not making a tackle if he didn't make it, but I don't know how he's supposed to cover him any differently there. Until he's standing over the football, locking him up like he did with, you know, James Jones, right, out in Minnesota. You know, that's the one where, hey, he's kind of mirroring a guy and going all over. I look for him to cover A.J. Green. I think this is Darrell's first test of the season. I really do. I don't look at Mike Wallace as anything. James Jones isn't anything. I tell you what, A.J. Green is something. Mm-hmm. And if Revis isn't on him, I'd be concerned. Plus, you get Browner back. It's going to be interesting to see if Browner plays at all and what role they use him in.
Well, if he plays, what role would you want to see him in?
I like to see him in a box, that 8-yard box, or put him in bump and run on the outside and let him beat the living hell out of whoever hell he's lined up against. Yeah, that's what you signed that guy for. It's not for his great cover skills. It's for his ability to knock guys down and intimidate people. I need some anger back in his defense. I think that's what I'm looking for. And I think Vince has got some of that. Chandler does. Yeah, I know Mayo does. Mayo's kind of that silent leader type. But, you know, and he was in some tough spots trying to cover Jamal Charles and, you know, and some routes the other night. 10 out of 10 times, Jamal Charles should win in those type of situations. It's not fair to Gerard Mayo.
With Scott Zolak, of course, my partner on the radio broadcast on our Patriots Radio Network with flagship 98.5 of the Sports Hub. Zoe also co-hosts a show from 10 to 2 weekdays on the Sports Hub with Andy Gresh. Zoe, Cincinnati has a pretty deep team on both sides. You mentioned A.J. Green, Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Smith in the backfield.
Yep.
They should get Marvin Jones back.
He's Jeremy Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get the Hill kid from LSU. You know, they lose Tyler Effort, their other tight end. He'll be back in November, but, you know, they got a hell of a tight end. You know, they got a big kid there. They got guys on the outside. The question is, do they got the guy to pull the trigger? They made a commitment to Andy Dalton. He's in his fourth year. Personally, I don't believe in Andy Dalton. I don't think he's very good. I think other players around him elevate him. Great quarterbacks are supposed to elevate the people around them. I don't think Dalton does that. He's yet to prove that late in the year when games matter the most. I know he beat the Patriots last year, had some nice throws, but for the most part, you know, I don't look at him as a top 10 quarterback. A guy could put a team on his back and carry him. I still believe in our quarterback, who's 37, who's kind of been beaten around the bush, you know, kind of been beaten down here throughout this last, you know, these last 2.5 weeks, and people are starting to question the age and all that. Go watch a film. Go watch the tape. You tell me who's missing sight of Jess, who's missing blitzes, and it's not really number 12. He's had some bad throws, no question about it. But, you know, you look at what Cincinnati does. They're a pretty solid team. They are. And it seems like every year this is the year where people pick them. You know, it's a sexy team. I remember people doing it with Atlanta. But they used to do it all the time with the Houston Texans when Gary Kubiak was the coach. And somehow around, you know, game 10 or 12, they find a way to screw it up. And I think that's what Dalton's going to do for them.
How about their defense? Geno Atkins coming off a torn ACL, but it looks like he's making great progress. And Vontaze Burfict could be back this week.
Yeah, he's back. They got Maluga. They got a bunch of guys, man. And they got corners that could cover. They got safeties that can hit. You know, they got another guy on the other side at 6'6", 280, who's got a bunch of sacks, deflected balls. And, you know, that's something that, and if I look at this game, you know, and I think Cincinnati's got everything to lose. People are expecting them to take that next step. If they don't against the Patriots, then they're going to get criticized. And New England's down right now until they find themselves. Cincinnati should take advantage of this game. If I'm Marvin Lewis, I go in and I try and blitz this offense every single play and see if they can handle it. If they can't, you just keep sending the dogs. It's a big game. It's a big game Sunday night. Really big game for both sides. As I said it last week prior to Kansas City, perception versus reality with this team. Yeah, Josh McDaniels has not forgotten how to coach. Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick. They got enough guys on defense to dial it up. Bob would like to see them turn it loose, turn these dogs loose, and let them go run around off the porch instead of having them all sit down and play zone coverage.
And if they do that, at home. They got to get off to a better start, we know, offensively. But defensively, would you expect to see them maybe press the issue a little bit? And what would you want to see from the crowd at Gillette Stadium?
I'd like to see them get liquored up all day Sunday and get in there and make some noise and get off your tails and get off your seat. Sunday's going to be a nice day, mid-60s. It's Halloween. Get the pumpkin spice beer. Get it flowing. Get the grills out. You know what? Your team needs you right now, and I think the guys would respond more. Young guys love to get these crowds going. You got guys coming in playing as rookies in your center and your guard. You know, they play to Florida State and stuff where crowds get amped up. Get liquored up and get after it on Sunday.
I know you only mean that in just the liquored up part.
No, I really mean it. I mean, that's what tailgating's for. You drive around, people don't have water bottles and Diet Cokes in their coolers. This is a hardcore town. I mean, this is a good sports town. Get after it on Sunday night. It's time to get after it.
Well, I know that you'll have your energy in the booth. And no doubt you'll get those fans going.
I will be working.
You will be working, but you don't need any help getting up for a game.
No, I don't. But after the game, I'm going to go to Splitsville. You know, they got 12 lanes of bowling, great sushi, you know, dueling piano bar. I will celebrate with other people and patrons at that time. But I'm going to work up until that time.
Zoe, only let you get that plug in because it's part of the great Patriot place.
It's part of family, brother. That's right. Then I'm going to Bass Pro. I'm going to buy some bows and arrows and shoot them up in the sky.
Maybe get some groceries at Trader Joe's on the way home.
That's where I get my wine. And I'm cracking a glass right now. The Anthropopic right here. $4 a bottle. Can't beat it.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm looking forward to Sunday night and appreciate your time today.
Pollock Power Hour. I appreciate it.
Thanks, so.
All right, pal.
Scott Zolak with us, back with more. We'll talk with Dan Horde, voice of the Bengals, in just a moment here on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Well, I think Andy's leadership has come. You know, Andy has grown from being the starting quarterback to being the leader of the offense to now the leader, virtually the leader of the football team. And, the guys have welcomed to pass the baton to him, some of the older guys that are linemen and so forth. And, and he's done a great job of that, and he's accepted that responsibility. And but he knows every down. He carries the football team in his hands with taking care of the football, and that's the most important part of his responsibility as well.
And that is the 12th-year leader on the sideline for the Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Lewis, talking about his fourth-year leader at quarterback, and Andy Dalton, of course, given a new contract in the offseason after leading the Bengals into the postseason each of his first three seasons. And our guest now, as we turn our attention to Cincinnati specifically, is the man who's called the play-by-play for the Bengals the last several years, Dan Hoard, who also, for a time, lived in the Boston area in Charlestown while his wife, Peg Rasconi, was a reporter for Channel 4, and Dan commuted across half the country as the voice of not only the Bengals, but the Cincinnati Bearcats. So while the Bengals were off last weekend, the Bearcats were in action. And Dan, as the busiest man in business, and one of the best, how are you?
Bob, I am great. Thanks for having me on. Good to hear your voice.
Good to chat with you. Of course, this is also, as some may recognize, a reunion of sorts of former Pawtucket Red Sox broadcasters.
This is the only time that happens during the NFL season. There aren't any others in the other 32 NFL franchises, but it's good to have the two reunited each of the last 2 years.
Absolutely, and of course, these are two teams that many would have thought would possibly meet in the postseason. But the Patriots are struggling right now at 2-2, and they're trying to right themselves in a lot of different ways, while the Bengals, coming off a bye, are one of two unbeaten teams in the NFL at 3-0. How good is the Cincinnati team in your eyes? And is it ready, led by Andy Dalton, to take that next step?
Boy, I sure think so. And I thought so last year. That's the problem. Last year, Cincinnati won the division by 3 games, earned the right to host a playoff game, and then completely fell on their faces at home against San Diego in January. But this team looks to be even a little bit better than last year's team was. They've been very solid. They have not given the ball up. Honestly, the formula for the Bengals' success so far has been very Patriot-like. In Bill Belichick's tenure, they have taken care of the ball. They haven't committed a lot of penalties. They played very solid defense. And while Andy Dalton is not Tom Brady and never will be, he has played very well through the first 3 weeks.
Marvin Lewis has two new coordinators because Mike Zimmer took the head coaching job at Minnesota and left the defense. Jay Gruden, as we know, the former offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of the Washington Redskins. And yet Bill Belichick said, watching the team on video, he hasn't seen really significant differences. But what have Paul Gunther and Hugh Jackson brought to those respective units?
Well, the key reason why there's no slippage is that they promoted from within, and they had two very good candidates already on their staff to take over the coordinator position. Hugh Jackson has been an NFL coordinator in three different stops before Cincinnati. He was the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. You know, he was 8-8 in Oakland. His successor, Dennis Allen, was 8-28 and just got canned this week. So that 8-8 for Hugh is looking a little bit better. But he's a good match for what this offense has in terms of talent. His philosophy is run first, pass second. That was very different from Jay Gruden, who passed it more than 50 times in the playoff loss against San Diego last year, more than 30 in the second half. So I think what he wants to do from a philosophical standpoint fits Andy Dalton's skill set very well. And then when you have Paul Gunther, I think you're really talking about almost an X's and O's savant. This guy was a college head coach when he was 25 years old. He really has been the guy behind the scenes working with Mike Zimmer over the past several years, who has come up with a lot of the stuff that Mike Zimmer was given credit for. Not that Mike Zimmer wasn't a great defensive coordinator. I think he was the best in the NFL. Paul Gunther had a lot to do with his success, and now he's showing what he can do as a defensive coordinator.
You know, you make two really good points about each guy. One, in terms of Hugh Jackson, I read recently when the Patriots were preparing to play the Oakland Raiders, Carson Palmer, of all people, former Bengal quarterback, of course, said that Jackson was really the right guy, and the Raiders made a mistake by letting him go when they fired him after Reggie McKenzie took over. What's the relationship like between Hugh Jackson and Andy Dalton, and how has that relationship fostered a far more mature Dalton, if that's the case?
Well, they have a great relationship, and honestly, it's not just Andy. Hugh Jackson is just one of those guys who has tremendous leadership qualities. Everybody on the team, offense, defense, special teams, they all love Hugh Jackson. He just has a very gregarious personality. He's always in a good mood, and he's a very sharp X's and O's football guy. I think he will be an NFL head coach again, hopefully soon, if the Bengals have the kind of year it looks like they're going to have based on the first 3 weeks. But getting back to his Oakland tenure, he was there for 2 years, one as the offensive coordinator, one as the head coach. He called the plays in both of those years because he was the play caller as the head coach. In both of those seasons, they were 8-8. If you look at the other, well, if you take a look at a 13-year period, so subtract those 2 years and look at the other 11 years, the Raiders have never won more than 5 games. So those 2 8 and 8 seasons with Hugh Jackson calling the plays, considering their talent base, is probably a pretty remarkable accomplishment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you mentioned as well a great point I thought about Paul Gunther, and that I read that Mike Zimmer really wanted to bring him to Minnesota when he became the head coach of the Vikings. So that speaks of the respect and the contribution that Gunther had not only earned in terms of respect with Zimmer, but also had made for Mike Zimmer running that defense in Cincinnati.
And it wasn't just Mike Zimmer. Jay Gruden wanted to bring him with him to Washington as his defensive coordinator. So he could have followed Zim to Minnesota and been the defensive coordinator. He could have followed Gruden to Washington and been the defensive coordinator. Fortunately for Cincinnati, he's loyalty to Marvin Lewis and the organization, so he elected to stay, and has worked out very well so far.
Dan Hort is the voice of the Bengals, and Dan, you've seen the offensive line provide exceptional protection. No sacks allowed through 3 games. You talked about the running game as well with Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, the youngster out of LSU. We know the Bengals have a tough defense, but there certainly seems to be a tough personality on the offensive side. Is that fair to say?
I think it is fair to say, and the sack statistic is interesting. Andy Dalton has now thrown 121 consecutive passes in the regular season going back to last year without being sacked. I don't ever remember hearing a stat like that before. But going into this season, the offensive line, in my mind, was the biggest question mark. They have a rookie fourth-round draft pick starting at center, who some teams going into the draft didn't think was going to be a good NFL center. Russell Bodine has played pretty well so far. But they let their starting left tackle for the second half of last season go as a free agent to Tampa Bay. Their right tackle, Andre Smith, did not play a single snap in the preseason because of concussion problems. Their left guard, Clint Bowling, tore his ACL in December and came back for the start of training camp. And right now, the right guard, Kevin Zeitler, is probably the best guy on the offensive line, is out. So it's not an offensive line without question marks, and yet they have played extremely well.
And I think what's scariest of all for the Patriots is that they've got a guy in Geno Atkins who's still rounding into form after torn ACL surgery, and they've been without the guys who've made an impact on defense and offense in terms of Vontez Burfict and Marvin Jones. Are we going to see those guys this week?
Had you asked me that question, Bob, at about noon today, I would have said yes. But now, a little bit after 5 o'clock, I'm not so sure. Neither guy practiced today. Vontez missed the last game as he goes through the NFL's concussion protocol. He had concussions in back-to-back weeks. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to answer the bell on Sunday or not. Marvin Jones hasn't played a single snap this year because he broke a bone in his foot early in training camp, and he returned to practice last week. Everything we've been led to believe all along suggests that he would be back in time for the game on Sunday night. I did a lengthy interview with him yesterday where he more or less said he would play on Sunday night. And then he was not active at practice today. So I'm not sure about Marvin Jones. We'll have to follow both of those guys as the week goes along to know if they'll play or not.
And how about Geno Atkins, Dan? How's he look to you?
He looks good. He just doesn't look like Geno Atkins yet. I mean, he's still well above average as a defensive tackle. But prior to tearing his ACL on Halloween night last year in Miami, in my mind, he was the best defensive tackle in the NFL and probably the second best defensive lineman behind only J.J. Watt. Patriots fans may remember last year in the game at Paul Brown Stadium, the first time Tom Brady got back to pass, he hadn't even planted his back foot when he got buried by Geno Atkins. So Geno is very unique in his ability to rush the passer from a defensive tackle spot. And again, he looks pretty good. He's certainly better than most, but he's not quite back to being that guy yet.
And there are lesser-known Bengals, I think, outside of Cincinnati, or at least here in New England, who had an impact in last year's game, like Wallace Gilberry. Carlos Dunlap's had a good year. I mean, this is a team that gets after the passer extremely well. And you look at the matchup, you've got an offensive line that has a multitude of issues and uses a lot of different combinations, seemingly still experimenting in the Patriots, going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. How favorable is it going into Sunday night?
Well, I'm sure that they were salivating a little bit watching that game on Monday night at Kansas City, because it was musical chairs watching that offensive line. It seemed like every time the Patriots had an offensive position, they were lined up a little bit differently. And it has clearly been a weakness through the first 4 weeks of the season. Having said that, I don't think it's going to be quite as jumbled this Sunday night as it was last Monday night. And we'll see if the Bengals can get after Tom Brady as well as they did a year ago.
With Dan Hort, voice of the Bengals, and you know, one of the things I was thinking, Dan, not only do you have A.J. Green, who's a great receiver, of course, and can be that in conventional sets and conventional plays, but you've got a guy like Mohamed Sanu, who's a great throwing receiver, has thrown two touchdown passes, including the one against Tennessee. And the different things Cincinnati does in the return game, Adam Jones is always a threat to take it the distance as a punt returner. Patriot fans have seen Brad and Tate do it a couple of times, of course, during his career as a New England Patriot. And you've got those dynamic playmakers on the outside and in Jones when he's available, and Green, of course, on a regular basis. And then you've got the trickery with a guy like Sanu. It must be a very fun team to call.
It is, and Hugh Jackson has definitely taken that up a notch. Jay Gruden would try that stuff occasionally. Mohamed Sanu threw one pass each of the last 2 years with Jay Gruden calling plays. But Mohamed Sanu threw passes in back-to-back weeks this year with Hugh Jackson calling the plays. And I think we're going to see Mohamed Sanu's skills used in a wide variety of ways. When he was at Rutgers, he was frequently used as a wildcat-type quarterback. The Bengals have that option in their playbook. They'll use him on reverses and find other creative ways to get him the ball, because he is a unique talent. He's not a speed burner, but he's tough to tackle. He's a big, strong, physical wide receiver, and they want to get the ball in his hands in a wide variety of ways.
And without the injured Tyler Eifert, how has Jermaine Gresham responded being the main tight end target?
Well, from a receiving standpoint, he hasn't done anything special so far. I think he's been very good in the blocking game as a tight end, and that's one of the reasons why Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill have been a productive 1-2 punch. I think we are all still waiting for Jermaine Gresham to be the kind of wide receiver that he was at Oklahoma. He was a tremendous receiving threat at Oklahoma, and he's had his moments in Cincinnati. He has been to two Pro Bowls, after all, but he has never been a Rob Gronkowski, a Jimmy Graham, somebody of that stature, and maybe that's unfair to try and hold him to those standards, but physically, he is one of those guys. His size, speed ratio is among the best in the NFL, and he's capable of having big games. It's just been a while since he's had one as a receiver.
Dan Hort, our guest, play-by-play man for the Bengals. In our final minutes, want to ask you about the organization and how it's transformed itself. The Browns got a lot of knocks. Mike Brown, in particular, for many years, there was criticism of it being Cincinnati being a thrifty organization. And yet, you look what the Bengals have done over the last 12 years with Marvin Lewis at head coach, and especially Dan more recently with the drafts. They've been able to execute the players they've brought into Cincinnati. This was an organization that was also known for off-the-field problems, and yet seemingly has transformed itself not only off the field, but we certainly know on the field. How do you describe it as someone who once covered the Bengals as a television reporter in Cincinnati and, of course, is now a part of that organization as the play-by-play voice?
They've become one of the most stable organizations in the NFL, which people would have laughed at for 10 minutes, as you suggested that back in the 1990s. But since the hiring of Marvin Lewis, they really have become that team that there are very few problems off the field. They really haven't had a significant problem like that since 2006. By my count, they've put together six consecutive outstanding drafts. Marvin Lewis has a lot to do with that because he's more than just a head coach. He does have a lot of say in personnel matters. But there's also a bit of an unsung hero that nobody outside of Cincinnati knows of, and that is their director of player personnel, Duke Tobin. He has more responsibilities than the typical director of player personnel. He really is the guy that's in charge of the draft in Cincinnati, so he has some GM-like responsibilities, and I think the triumvirate of Mike Brown as owner, president, Marvin Lewis as head coach, and Duke Tobin as director of player personnel really helps explain why it is one of the deepest rosters in the NFL.
And you also have one of the more inspirational players, and certainly someone with whom thousands have sent their thoughts and prayers from around the country. Devin Still, his young daughter battling cancer. The Bengals are donating proceeds of the sales of his jersey to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And at last count, last check for me, there were 10,000 plus sold. They're going to raise about $1 million for the hospital. And his daughter, of course, recently had surgery. What's the latest on her situation in Devin Still?
Well, the surgery was 1 week ago today. They successfully removed the tumor from her stomach, the cancerous tumor, but she's not out of the woods yet. It was a stage 4 cancer, so it had spread to her bone marrow. So that is the next thing that they will tackle. But the surgery was a very good step for 4-year-old Leah, and she got out of the hospital today. So Devin has a smile on his face. It's been a very trying time for him, but it has been amazing, really, how not just Cincinnati, but the whole country has rallied around his story. They have sold Devin Still jerseys in all 50 states, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and I heard this morning that the Patriots purchased 18 for their cheerleaders. So wow. I guess your cheerleading squad will be representing Devin Still in Leah's battle, and I thought that was a wonderful gesture.
I would concur. Look forward to seeing him on Sunday night, and certainly looking forward to seeing you, Dan. Appreciate your time today. Always great to catch up with you.
Likewise, Bob. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Dan Horn, voice of the Bengals, and again, young man who cut his teeth in minor league baseball like yours truly. Our paths crossed originally in upstate New York and eventually here in the Boston area, and one of the all-time greats, and I mean that sincerely, one of the best broadcasters and best people that I know, and Dan Horde spending time with us, talking to us, of course, on this edition of the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com. Speaking of good people, we'll be joined shortly by my partner in crime over on Patriots.com as well, Jackie Britton, who no doubt is hard at work for the latest feature for Patriots Today, having spent some time in the Patriots locker room, and we'll talk to her about the sense of urgency that the Patriots players expressed in trying to rebound from Monday night's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, while preparing for Sunday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. And we're certainly looking forward to a chance to get back in the booth and call a game that the Patriots no doubt have to look to as a great opportunity on Sunday night, especially with so many doubting them now after Monday's performance in Kansas City and in the raucous environment of Arrowhead Stadium, as the crowd there, 79,000 plus, generated more than 140 decibels on record, now as the loudest stadium in sports. The Chiefs lived up to the occasion. They came out in all red for only the second time in franchise history, and on a Monday night stage, jumped to a big lead over the Patriots. Jamaal Charles had already scored twice for Cincinnati when Alex Smith, the quarterback for the Chiefs, off to a great performance as well, looked in Charles' direction once again.
Smith takes the snap, drops back two steps, looks to the right. He throws it for Charles. He's all by his lonesome. A dive to the end zone. He's got a hat trick. Touchdown, Kansas City. For the third time tonight for Jamaal Charles. Smith, short drop. He pumps over the middle. He looks to his left. He throws back to the right. And the catch is made by Bo at the one. Tackled by Revis in the field of play. Time expires. Time expires in the opening half. And Kansas City might be saved by a penalty marker as the officials conference at the 15-yard line.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense number 26. 5-yard penalty. Automatic first down at the end of the play. There was 1 second remaining.
You learn a lot from every game. I mean, I think the biggest thing we're going to take away from this game is we got to play a lot better if we want to be a good team and if we want to win games. I mean, this is probably the most embarrassing game I've been a part of. Just we lost in every aspect, so we'll definitely learn something from this and learn a good amount. But, you know, now it's all about fighting and getting better. And trying to play better next week.
Trips to the left, wide side of the field. Brady, short drop, quick set, throws to LaFell on the slant, makes the grab, runs away from a defender, runs away from three, all alone to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
About time. Somebody other than number 11 steps up and makes a play. Just something, looking for a pulse on offense.
Short motion into the backfield for Sherman. Play fake by Smith, rolling right, throws in the right corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. He found the tight end, Kelce, once again. Short drop by Grupp. Throws across the middle. Grupp has it at the 5. Out of one tackle. Try to break another. Taking three defenders into the end zone for a Patriots touchdown. Smith to the right knee. One last time for Kansas City. The final seconds finally elapse at Arrowhead. Record-setting night for the crowd and for Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs. Really a milestone performance. He goes 20 for 26, 248 yards, 3 touchdowns, a QB rating over 144.
Am I worried? I'm always worried when we go out and put out a performance like we did tonight. Because it's not, that's not us. So watch the film, make the corrections, and move forward. Like I said, we're on a short week this week. I've got another good football team facing at home, so We don't have time to hold our heads down and being sad and let this carry over into this week. So we're going to have to watch this film and move on.
I thought we kept fighting, and I think, you know, you want to see that. That's character, and I think this team has character, and I think that gives us a chance to go back this weekend and practice on a short weekend and try to get ready to go for next week and for the remaining part of the season. You know, it's only game four, so if we didn't have any fight, that wouldn't be good right now at this point in the season. So I think we got a lot of guys in here that's willing to fight and willing to see, you know, different results by just putting in the work. So we just got to get to it.
Words of Devin McCourty following Vince Wilfork, two of the Patriots' captains in the wake of the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, Monday night, New England falling to Kansas City on Monday Night Football in a hard way, 41-14. Jackie Britton was with me in Kansas City covering the Patriots in Monday night's performance and has followed the team, of course, the last couple of days, including some time spent in press conferences today with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady as well in the locker room. And Jackie, welcome back to the show. And
hello.
Tough 48 hours or so for the Pats after Monday night, huh?
I can't tell if I was on or not.
We skipped your we skipped your intro today.
That's okay. That's fine. I mean, I couldn't tell. I couldn't really hear. So, yeah, Kansas City. That was definitely not fun to watch by any means of the imagination. But am I like hot or something? Is this thing hot? Okay, sorry. I thought you were making a face at me. Sorry.
No. You're sound great like you always do.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic.
I butchered that, so I'm going to do it again. So, yeah, there you go. yeah, but it's, you know, big day today, Wednesday. Thankfully, though, it is Wednesday, so it is a shorter week, so there's not really any time to spend dwelling on Kansas City. Even, not that they would, but, you know, the week's halfway over. So.
And Bill Belichick made that clear in his press conference that they're looking forward to Cincinnati, and Tom Brady fielded a lot of questions. It was a tough line of questioning
right.
today.
I think, yeah, I felt bad for Tom Brady. I felt like he was unfairly, not that the questions were unfair, but I felt like there were a lot of the same kind of questions, and I think that's unfair. But I think that he handled it like a pro. But I think that definitely the line of questioning today was a little unfair. I think that he took some unnecessary heat that was not, in all honesty, not really deserved by, you know, from him today. So.
And in the locker room, some of his fellow captains like Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater were among those that we talked to, and they spoke of the sense of urgency.
Right.
And
I definitely
also the
get
toughness
that.
Needed to come back from Monday night.
Yeah, I felt that for sure. I felt like all those guys were humbled, certainly. And not that there was ever any like cockiness about them before, but you can just definitely tell there was this vibe of, you know, being defeated, being humbled, and having no choice but to really kind of plug ahead. And I tell you what, I mean, like, Kansas or having Cincinnati now, that's going to be tough. I mean, for a team like the Patriots that's trying to that it's consistently a goal every single week is to put more points on the board, and then you've got Cincinnati who has the lowest, like they've allowed 33 points. That's the lowest in the league right now. Like that's going to be, I mean, that's a tough battle. Obviously, we know what happened last year, and I know it's a new year, but I mean, mentally to move on and to move on to Cincinnati. That's going to be hard, but you definitely feel the chip on everyone's shoulder. You feel that vibe of we're ready to kick some butt and take care of business this week.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Tom said after the game Monday night is that it's a short week, and that's probably a good thing. And I got the sense listening to Devin McCourty today, too, talking about competitiveness and getting out there once again, that it's a good thing for this team because they're very eager to make amends on both sides of the ball. I think everybody felt that it really was a poor performance in every way by the Pats on Monday night.
Yeah, they're not denying that it was anything other than that, you know, and I think that they are certainly really eager to get the bad taste out of their mouth. I think nothing would make them happier than playing on Sunday night. Football, and I kind of like, I don't know, I'm ready for, I kind of have this feeling, it's just like an intuitive feeling, but I have this feeling that they're just going to come out and completely surprise everybody and end up blowing Cincinnati out of the water, which is like, I know, really strong words on my part, but I'm just curious to see what everyone's reaction would be then. You know, it's like there's just all this people panicking after a one game. And I'm just curious to see what would happen if the Patriots were to come back in such a fashion like that, to see what would happen after that. But there's a sense of we've got to take care of business. We're aware of what happened in Kansas City and we're not looking at that anymore. We're moving on. And But it's going to be – it will be tough. It'll be tough for them.
Yeah, I think it's a real interesting matchup in a lot of different ways because physically Cincinnati's playing so well. And,
right.
Of course, they've got the great defenses you've talked about, allowing only 11 points per game. And the Patriots have all their issues, especially with the offensive line. Bengals, meanwhile, haven't allowed any sacks. Their offense has been really
right. I mean, granted, they've had a bye week, but, I mean, still you can't. Can't take that out of consideration.
No, not at all. And they had a tough win to start the season in Baltimore. But you're right. It's an interesting sense because the Bengals, you know, this is a game that no doubt they're looking forward to as a statement game. National TV in prime time, under the lights once again. It's a rare opportunity for Cincinnati, even though the Bengals have gone to the postseason the last 3 years. So many doubt whether they can still have postseason success in because of the quarterback, Andy Dalton. So they're coming to Foxborough trying to prove a lot of different points. And
right.
You know, the Patriots, a lot of people are looking at them, and the naysayers have come out. A lot of people are doubting them. They have issues and concerns. And you get a sense that, in a way, they have nothing to lose
right.
Sunday night, to use that cliche, that this is a team that really has a great opportunity here against the Bengals, who haven't always risen to the moment, risen to the occasion, and
right.
seize these kinds of opportunities.
But who still pose a very
right.
real threat,
right.
you know. The offensive line, I think, performed better last week than they have during the season. I mean, the shuffling around, I'm not going to get into the X's and O's of all that, but definitely felt like Brady had more time to kind of, you know, sit in the pocket. Whether he was comfortable with that or not, I don't know, and I don't really care. But I'm just saying, you know, there's something to look at, especially when you've got Geno Atkins on the other side over there. He's dangerous. We saw that last year. I mean, his production speaks for itself. But to me, it still starts and ends with how the offensive line performs, especially against Cincinnati.
What did you hear today in terms of Bengals personnel when you listened to Devin McCourty and some of the other players in the locker room? You know, who are the guys that they're really talking about?
Devin McCourty talked a little bit about A.J. Green. Bill Belichick, when he spoke about A.J. Green, that stood out to me. So that's why I'm actually choosing my matchup this week. Not my matchup, but the matchup of the week that I'm going to focus on is Revis, you know, if he's so matched up with A.J. Green. And I think A.J. Green's really interesting. I mean, he's definitely kind of come along really fast. I mean, going into his fourth year, he's piled up a lot of yards, a lot of receptions. And he's really lean and long. And I think that this will be a really good test for Darrell Revis. I mean, Revis has certainly seen competitive competition or competitive receivers throughout his entire career and so far this season. But I think that there's just something sneaky with the way A.J. Green plays. Like you won't think he's going to make the catch. And then all of a sudden he's got a hand out there and can pull it in, you know? So I think that, and just kind of the way Darrell Revis has been playing, I'm interested to see how those two, you know, kind of go hand in hand. I'm interested to see if, like, Revis kind of ups his physicality a little bit.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are anxious to see whether he's going to be on A.J. Green exclusively for
right.
the game as opposed to the zone that we've seen in the man-to-man.
True.
Is that your sense? You think we're going to see Revis and the Patriots play more aggressive defense?
I hope so. I kind of hope so. I mean, I don't, as far as, like, what they should do, I don't know. I'm not the expert on that, but, like, I would like to see it. I mean, that's what the fun part about defense is, watching that physical nature. And I think that a lot of people expected that when Darrell Revis was brought here and the way that he plays. So, yeah, I would like to see him one-on-one with A.J. Green. Who wouldn't want to see a showdown like that, you know?
Our guest is Jackie Britton from Patriots.com, and I'm surprised you mentioned the name of Geno Atkins, and you talked about A.J. Green without any reference to their college days.
I'll keep that back to I'll keep that to myself. But yeah, go Dogs.
You know, the Bulldogs continue to play well. Jackie is a Georgia girl, so anytime we can give a plug to UGA.
Right. And
by the way, the Bengals have a lot of Georgia products.
I was going to say that is truly, in all honesty, coincidence. I mean, seriously, I know you don't believe me, but in all honesty, total coincidence.
And they have a lot of talent. They've done a great job, as Dan Hoard, their play-by-play voice, told us a little while ago, of drafting and developing players. And they've got a head coach, Marvin Lewis, who in 12 years has really done a great job of transforming that team on and off the field, and yet, of course, hasn't had the postseason success. And it's still nonetheless a case where you have these two coaches who've been with their teams longer than any other coaches, Bill Belichick, of course, for the Patriots, and Marvin Lewis with the 12 years at Cincinnati. One is referred to around football, of course, as one of the greatest coaches of all time, notwithstanding the struggles early this year, and the other is still trying to earn that respect, it seems.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that's what makes this matchup, I think, so interesting, because you have a lot of little nuggets like that, the tenure of the coaching. And, I mean, of course, like you talked about this morning, they have the new offensive, you know, the front office is different, but certainly kind of the same as they've hired within. So, I don't know. I think that we could expect to see a lot of what we saw last year.
Jackie, what about off-the-field issues or off-the-field activities for the Patriots players? I mean, I know this is a short week. Is it a quiet week in the community for them as well?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't gotten anything this week. Tuesday was not a day in the community for me. I think it was for a few people.
It was a good day to catch up on sleep.
Right. Yeah, it was not a day in the community for me. But I don't really know. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, as far as what that goes, we didn't have anything on Patriots.com wise of any of that, but you know, we've always got you covered, Bob. No problems with that.
One of the things that I thought was really a nice story that Dan Hoard just conveyed is the effort by the Patriots to reach out to the Bengals and purchase Devin Still.
Oh,
the
right.
Bengals player who has a daughter who's battling cancer, 4-year-old, and proceeds from the sale of his jersey is going to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and the Patriots have ordered a number of jerseys, 18 of them for the Patriots cheerleaders.
It's such a phenomenal story. I'm excited to see that. Yeah, Abby, who works our in-stadium broadcast, was telling me about that and how that they're going to orchestrate all of that, and I think that's really cool. Especially, you know, there's a human element involved in all of this kind of thing too. And, you know, the fact that we're playing them so soon, I think that's going to be really cool. Yeah.
And Abby's also very concerned about the aesthetics at Gillette Stadium. Now the Patriots aren't going to challenge the Chiefs and their crowd. Just the shape of the stadium doesn't allow for that to get up above 140 decibels. But
they are going
to
need everybody
involved in the game.
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
Yeah. They don't want, you know, I mean, I really hope that people don't leave this team. I mean, that will be sad. That if fans choose to not show up to this game or to not come to this game because of what happened last week,
we have to worry about that.
They need to. But no, I think that everyone, I mean, McCourty, we talked about that today. They're counting on their fans. They trust their fans. So they're counting on everybody to come out there and support them the way that they expect. So it'll hopefully be loud and rocking on Sunday night.
And speaking of expectations, I think that's one of the reasons why, obviously, and it's this team has been met by such criticism the last few days, and the reaction that we've heard and the questions that we've heard, because the expectations are so high.
I mean,
having come to New England and followed this team the last couple of seasons plus, for you in the media, how do you balance it between the expectations that you have for this team week in, week out, with the reality that most teams around the NFL experience?
Right.
You're not going to win every game, and even the best are going to get blown out on occasion.
Right. I mean, I came from Atlanta, so, I mean, not that, like, I was never a diehard Falcons fan by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, anytime the Falcons are playing, I mean, just you would always root for them, but it's not, I wish I could describe it better, but it's not the same. The pro football is not the same as it is up here, and that was one of the first things I noticed, is how seriously the fans take pro sports in Boston, but especially the football here. And because down south it's more, I mean, you'll see crowds like this for a college football game instead of, you know, at the Georgia, I mean, you'll go to the Georgia Dome, and when the Saints come to town, it's like half black and gold, half red and black, you know. So it's been fun to kind of be in the media, because it's really different. It's really intense and it's really big, but it's also really different. I've never been involved in anything like this before, and growing up I was never a diehard Patriots fan, so to kind of come in on this end of, you know, the regime, the Belichick era and all that stuff, it's been cool to me. And I think that, so I guess I'm a little, like, I think it's unfair when people we're, you know, asking Brady those questions today. But then again, I guess there's an expectation level that has been there during this entire time that I haven't been here for. And I obviously know, you know, Belichick and Brady, the whole dynasty will go down the Hall of Fame. Like, I know what they've accomplished. I've studied all that. I've read all that. But to be here is cool to watch and see it for myself.
And, you know, there's a sense, and, you know, in many cases, it's true that when you go into that locker room and you're looking for a news story as a reporter, you're in all likelihood not going to get bulletin board material for the other team to use, or you're going to get players to talk about in-house secrets.
Right, no.
It's not done in Foxborough. And yet, Do you find, even after a tough loss like Monday, when you go in there today, players are professional, that they're accessible?
Absolutely.
And accommodating as much
Absolutely.
As they can be?
I think that's one of the best things. It's like, I've never had any experience where someone has been rude to me. I mean, you know, people are moody and they have their moments, but post-game, going in the locker room, I was nervous about that because I was like, no one's going to want to talk to us. Everybody's going to hate us. Like, what should we – I don't want to go in here. But, you know, you have the captains. You have Vince Wilfork, who was a stand-up guy, who, you know, they – I feel like they admit when they've done wrong, and they're not afraid of doing that. And I think that's just because they're – It's, I think it shows class and professionalism and just being a real man playing, you know, playing football. So I've never, yeah, it's, it ha, I mean, I guess I kind of want to say it surprised me, but not really, because no one's ever been rude or ungrateful or, you know, anything like that to me, especially after the game that they had. Like, I was expecting the worst. One word answers, no comment, don't talk about anything, but no, they go up there and they take it. You know, they take it like a pro, and that's something to be admired, I think. You know, it's an admirable trait.
Jackie Britton with us. Lastly, before we let you go and we head out to break, you said you have a feeling this team's going to answer the call on Sunday night.
I think they will. I'm torn because I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really hard. But I think that they will win. I just really hope that they can shut a lot of people up. And I mean, to be quite honest, I hope that they can, you know, answer a lot of the questions by their performance on the field. And I have confidence that they can do that, that they have what it takes to do that. You know, offensively, people, oh, he doesn't have the weapons he has. I think that they are smart enough to put a football team on the field that's able to accomplish a victory. Like, I mean, that's what it comes down to, in all honesty. Fine, you don't have Troy Brown, you don't have Randy Moss, whatever, but they've got what it takes to, they've got the smarts and the intelligence. Belichick's been doing it for long enough. They are the ones, like, behind the organization, like, not us. I think that they're smart enough to make things happen. I think they'll answer the call. I think everybody's mad, hungry, and just ready to wash away last week the best they can. And that's going to be by beating Cincinnati on Sunday.
Yeah, the problem's notwithstanding. Nonetheless, they've got a great opportunity Sunday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic opportunity.
All right, Jackie, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks
and
for
again,
having me.
Look for Jackie
as
on
always.
Patriots.com.
I'm surprised. I was waiting on Zoe to call in and, like, interrupt me again. No?
No, we had Zoe a bit earlier today.
Okay.
We did not allow for such rudeness.
I've got to interrupt him
in
next
segment.
Time.
Well, all stop right, by the radio booth and you can interrupt him on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. All right. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks again. Jackie Britton with us. Again, a reporter for Patriots.com. Patriots Today, Patriots Press Pass. You can also get Jack to send your questions to Jackie. You can read about and listen to and watch her matchup of A.J. Green and the Patriots' Darrelle Revis coming up shortly. We'll continue with more of the Bob Soucy Show, our final break, and then some final thoughts after this on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show. About 10 minutes or so with a few afterthoughts. Following our conversations today with Stephen Gostkowski, Dan Hoare, the voice of the Bengals, Scott Zolak, my partner, of course, on the Patriots radio broadcasts, and our last guest, Jackie Britton. We talk about the matchup of these two teams, the Patriots and the Bengals, Sunday night, of course, on NBC, but also on the Patriots radio network on flagship station 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. And when one looks at the matchup, of course, right now Cincinnati is the team that comes in playing far better than New England. The Bengals coming off a bye week at 3-0, first in the NFL in turnover margin plus 6, first in the NFL in scoring defense at 11 points per game, on offense that has a lot of different weapons, whether it's in the run game or the passing game, with a quarterback in Andy Dalton, who at least to this point this season has managed that team very well. And of course, with A.J. Green, one of the best receivers in professional football, and Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill have made a great combination in the backfield. the Bengals offensively, as Dan Hoard told us, with a center who's a rookie, helping to anchor that line, have not allowed a sack through three games. Cincinnati won in Baltimore to begin the year, then really dominated the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan in game two, when the Falcons were far healthier than they were last week, for example. And then in week three, blew out the Tennessee Titans, and Hill and Bernard in that particular game rushed for three touchdowns for Cincinnati. It's a team that also used some trickery. Mohamed Sanu, the former Rutgers, a jack of all trades, a receiver who could be used as a wild cat quarterback, through a touchdown pass to Andy Dalton for 18 yards. So we know that Hugh Jackson, as the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati, isn't afraid to try gadget plays. And, of course, the Bengals have a very good defense under Marvin Lewis and his coordinator, Paul Gunther. But with Cincinnati coming in, there are some question marks for the Bengals in terms of personnel, even as good as Cincinnati has been. And we thought that Vontaze Burfict, coming off a concussion, and Marvin Jones, who has been plagued by a broken bone in his foot, would be available as early as today to practice for the Bengals. In fact, Dan Hoard spoke to us about those two guys and said early this morning he would have expected them to play on Sunday night. And here's what Marvin Lewis had to say just a few days ago when he was expecting those two players to be back, speaking of their importance for Cincinnati.
Well, it's good for the team, be a good uplift, for us to gain these guys back, both in practice and opportunity maybe to play in the next ball game.
So Burfict and Jones would represent two big additions for the Bengals, as if Cincinnati wasn't strong enough already. Well, Dan did tell us that, contrary to what he expected, neither practiced today for the Bengals. So we'll have to see these next couple of days when the practice reports come out the status of Vontaze Burfict and Marvin Jones. But again, either way, Cincinnati is a very, very good football team, as a team that's gone to three straight postseasons. Last year really dominated the AFC North division. Geno Atkins, of course, didn't play for Cincinnati in the postseason last year because he injured his ACL, torn against the Miami Dolphins, in the middle of the season. And Atkins is a guy that has come back from that injury to play on a regular basis, but maybe hasn't been his former self just yet. Here's what his head coach had to say about the progress he's been making thus far.
Oh, you just see his ability to play with power and pad level, you know, all the way through, and that's a good thing. I think there in the end of the football game, he's still in there being an effective rusher, and you know, you're still getting the slide coming to him that way, and so he's doing a good job of fitting and running the scheme, and that's a good thing. He's Geno, you know, he's doing what he's asked to do.
And that game Marvin Lewis was referring to was Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. So Geno Atkins routing into form for Cincinnati again, coming off that torn ACL. And last year he set the tone against the Patriots with the sack of Tom Brady as Cincinnati held the Pats to just two field goals in Cincinnati. That game ended, of course, with a driving rainstorm along the Ohio Riverfront. Tom Brady eventually intercepted by Adam Pac-Man Jones deep in Cincinnati territory to clinch the victory for the Bengals. Turning point in that game as well, a fumble forced by Cincinnati when LeGarrette Blount lost possession of the ball, and Cincinnati cashed in for a score. These Bengals, as we've noted, first in the NFL this year in turnover margin, and in the course of Marvin Lewis's career, one of the best in the NFL in protecting the ball and also procuring possession. Cincinnati has the third best turnover differential in the NFL since Lewis took over as head coach in 2003. The Bengals are plus 43. Now, during that time, the Patriots are number one, a remarkable plus 133. But as we know, last Monday in Kansas City, the Pats certainly lost the turnover battle, and it contributed to that game steamrolling out of control and enabling Kansas City to run away from the Pats. The strip sack of Tom Brady, the pick six, another interception as well late in that game by the Patriots quarterback. So the Pats no doubt have to turn that number around this week and stop the trend for the Bengals. The Pats have to somehow get to Andy Dalton and apply some pressure, but they also, of course, have to load up against that run. And as we continue to state the obvious, on the flip side, got to get something going offensively early, and one would look for the Patriots to continue to do that. We talked about the offensive line combinations, five different combinations used last Monday in Kansas City, going up against a very imposing defense this Sunday night against Cincinnati. And yet, despite all the questions and concerns for the Patriots, as documented, it's a great opportunity for this team. It's a proud football team. There is still that tether to the championship years for players, Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, and of course so many others who've been AFC champions as recently as 2011. And no doubt for those other guys who've come into this organization, Monday night not only was a loss, a blow in the standings, but also a blow to the pride. And yet at 2-2, they are in a division that allows them to overcome these early season struggles, address the issues, get themselves right. And there's no better opportunity, no better way for them to do that than on a primetime stage once again against a team presumed to be the AFC's best right now, I think in the eyes of many, certainly right up there with Denver in the Cincinnati Bengals. And as we've talked about, no doubt the Patriots looking for the crowd to respond. Fans at Gillette get knocked a lot, but I think back to that rally last year against the Denver Broncos as we started the show with that thought. The Patriots came back against Denver in the second half, and it was pretty remarkable to see just how faithful the fans at Gillette were, number one, to be there in the first place on a terribly chilly night, a night that was as cold as any game in regular season history at Gillette Stadium, a night when the winds whipped through the crowd throughout the evening. They saw their team fall behind 24-0 at halftime, but they stayed there through the finish line, and the Patriots won that game. And no doubt the Patriots are going to need a strong start, as mentioned, but to help spur them on, they're going to look for the fans to respond as well and implore them toward that end. So one hopes that the atmosphere at Gillette Sunday night will match the occasion and the opportunity for the Patriots, and obviously every Patriot fan hopes that the performance of the team responds as well as the Patriots look to rebound from last Monday's defeat in Kansas City. Coming up next week, of course, we'll look back on the Sunday night that was as the Patriots take on the Cincinnati Bengals, and then we'll get ready for the Buffalo Bills coming up next Sunday at 1 p.m. on the road in Western New York. But of course, first and foremost, the Pats move on to Cincinnati. They've got their eyes set on the Bengals, and we'll have the call on the Patriots Radio Network coming up on Sunday. We invite you to stay tuned and log on to Patriots.com for complete coverage as well with Mark Bertrand and all the PFW guys this weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in and logging on and downloading as well. For our producer, Kevin Collins, I'm Bob Soucy. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five, he dives to the end zone, touchdown, and the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right, Ridley dives to the goal line, he's in again, touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning, play fake, a throw to the near side, ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball,
he's got it!
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker,
he's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.